All right, it's time now to take a look at our second look, rather, at what's grabbing the headlines today in the press. Solange Mugenant is here with us for more. Solange, you're starting off with the climate crisis because today marks the 50th anniversary of World Environment Day. Tell us more.
Yes, to mark this anniversary, the Italian paper La Repubblica is highlighting climate stripes, in which each strip, it represents 1 year and the temperature that year from 1850 until now. And as you can see, the Earth is becoming dramatically warmer with the effects of the crisis. La Repubblica tells us in the Mediterranean region, the effects 20% faster than in other areas. Now, sticking with the climate crisis, Reuters has a special report on how replanting parts of the Amazon are not working well, with nonprofits being hampered by tight budgets and also illegal farmers pushing the environmentalists out. The main culprit here, according to the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, is the world's hunger for beef. The site found that in the past 6 years, 800 million trees have been cut to create grazing land.
We'll stay in Brazil for the next part of this story, Solange. That's the press coverage dedicated to marking the one-year anniversary of the killings of journalist Dom Phillips and his guide, Bruno Pereira.
Yes, to commemorate their lives, there are events being held across Brazil today. They're calling attention to, as Le Monde tells us, the causes that they died for: safeguarding the Amazon, fishing, getting rid of illegal fishing, and saving the indigenous people. The Guardian writes today that The mastermind of their killings has been officially charged, the alleged mastermind. He's thought to be the head of a transnational crime organization. One of his subordinates and a few fishermen have also been charged. But one indigenous leader has also written this past weekend in The Guardian, saying that the region is still rampant with illegal fishing, logging, and mining. And it's not only putting the forest at risk, he says, but also the 23 native tribes that live there.
Well, papers are also covering Sunday's commemorations, or maybe better to say the lack thereof, to mark the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre.
Yes, as the New York Times puts it, Hong Kong remembered the Tiananmen massacre until it couldn't. It writes that the candlelight vigils and protests are now just a memory, a sign of how much freedom Hong Kongers have lost. As Le Figaro tells us, some 20 people who gathered to commemorate the anniversary were arrested. And now there is the one image that is really representative. It really epitomizes the repression in Hong Kong yesterday, as the South Korean paper Shosun Ilbo shows us. Tens of thousands used to gather annually at Victoria Park. This June 4th, authorities turned that park into a carnival, a patriotic carnival. The Washington Post dives into this and has an interesting breakdown of what Chinese repression looks like. It says that it's taken this image from 1990, another here from 2019, and compared it in a blow-up of today's muzzled Hong Kong.
We'll turn now to some health news, Solange. We've got a bit of a mix for us. Some of it is concerning, but some of it is also hopeful.
Yes, let's look at the bad first, and then we'll get to the good. L'Humanité is talking about the Mediator trial, the weight loss drug. The appeal comes to an end this week. The weight loss drug killed hundreds because it created heart problems for the thousands that took it. But L'Humanité is also asking today how many other drugs, poisons it calls them, are still being sold. It points to some 88 drugs that it feels are more dangerous than useful, but are still being sold for profit. Now for the hopeful, the Telegraph tells us today, it is a big one. Lung cancer is the number one cancer killer in the world. It kills 1.8 million, it causes 1.8 million deaths a year. The good news, the Telegraph tells us, is that a recent study found that a pill once a day after surgery cuts the risk of people dying by 51%. The decade-long study results are, according to its authors, quote, unprecedented and thrilling. Now, the Wall Street Journal, it has another good news on the cancer front. Another breakthrough, it says, of a different kind of cancer, a certain type of brain cancer where for decades. There's been little progress, but a drug also taken after surgery has kept growth down of the tumors for twice as long as for those that did not take the pill.
Finally, Solange, then, you found a couple of stories on what some see as indecency.
Yes, the BBC tells us that some primary schools in Utah, well, they've been taking the Bible, you heard me correctly, the Bible off their shelves because of its indecency, vulgarity, and violence. But this is not your average use, average kind of ban. Rather, NPR tells us that the ban was actually coming from a parent who is frustrated with book bans in their district. So the parent decided to ask for the Bible to be banned. Another call has been put for the Book of Mormon to be banned. This, Utah, again, is Mormon country in the U.S. The school district actually agreed with the initial complaint that the Bible is, quote, one of the most sex-ridden books around and should not be for younger eyes. But I could not leave you with a story about suppressing education. So I found another indecency story for you. This comes from The Guardian. It tells us that Queensland's naked beachgoers were hit with fines on Noosa Beach, the unofficial naked beach there since the 1960s. The police crackdown, though, the article notes, has been hard to bear as the police, it says, have poked the bear. As Q News, the Queensland LGBTQ plus site, tells us, the crackdown has actually created calls for the beach and for others to officially become clothes optional, with 87% of residents that were polled saying that they are in favor of legally making Noosa the nudie beach.
Solange Mujan with the Press Review. Thank you very much, as always.